Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Can I get y'all anything else?
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope. I hope you saved room for dessert.
I'm almost full. Almost.
Who doesn't love dessert? You have earned this.
Breakfast.
Homemade pecan pie. I love it. Whatever happened to angel food cake? Any type of rhubarb pie. Rhubarb strawberry. Rhubarb peach. That's sour and sweet together. It's hard to beat. Who saved room for dessert? It's dessert breakfast.
I'll get that right to you.
I don't know how you feel about this. You go to a pawn shop, and it's like, it's got this giant Godzilla in the window. It's got this giant Yoda in the window, and something.
Who pawns Yoda?
I don't know.
Who would pawn?
But it's a Yoda, like, I'm going to say it's like almost 3 feet tall, and I don't know if it was a prop from something. But then I go inside, I was like, how much is this and this and this? And he goes, oh, those two things aren't for sale. And I was like, well, that's the only reason I came in. I missed. You get people in, they're like, here's what you can't have.
I went to Pawn Stars. You know that show?
Is that in Vegas? Or
P-A-W-N, Porn Stars, in Vegas, yes. And I love that show. I would watch it.
It's a fun show, yeah.
And one time we went to Vegas, and I brought with me some military things that my uncle had left to me from the American Army, amazingly. I brought some military stuff because I wanted to go in and see what I could do at their shop. And the grandfather was there.
Okay.
And he had been in the military.
Yeah.
So, and if you watch the show, you would see that when people were coming with military things, he would be the expert.
Right.
And they told me, okay, you stand here. They weren't filming or anything. They told me, you stay here. We're going to bring it over to the old man, they called him. Whatever,
okay.
The grandfather. And it wasn't far enough that I couldn't hear what he said. He went through the box that I was going, and he goes, I don't want this crap. And it was almost like, oh, you've been talking to Bob Newhart again, right? Is that what it is?
You and Newhart compared notes.
Yeah, he goes, I don't want this crap. But what he did that was very nice is he gave me the name and address of another pawn shop in town that was more likely to
He said, hey, go to this place. They like crap.
They like crap. And they hate me. So I hate them. Tell them I said hi.
Bob Chick, do you collect a lot of albums?
Yes, I do.
Comedy, music.
Yeah.
What's the album you have that you're most proud of?
Well, I have close to 6,000 albums.
Jeez.
And they're in most of them are in two segments. I have an entire wall of comedy,
okay. An
entire shelf after shelf of Beatles. In recent years, I've, instead of keeping up with current and future people in comedy, I've been going backwards and learning about comedy from the turn of the 20th century. Vaudeville people. This is before radio.
Right.
You know? A lot of Yiddish theater where their routines are like right out of the Catskills, you know?
Yeah.
English, and then suddenly it's all Yiddish. And then, you know, the setup might be in English, but the punchline is Yiddish.
Interesting.
Whatever it might be. So I think right now I get a lot of satisfaction when I'm able to find those kind of recordings that I don't have, but I'm learning about the people. Whether or not I find the material funny, a lot of it obviously doesn't stand up.
Right.
But I love learning about the artists behind it. So there's not a huge market for that kind of stuff, but there is for me.
Yeah.
I like finding it.
So I know you're not really into what is the best album of whoever, you know, and stuff like that. But I will say, phrase it another way. If you're going on vacation on an island and a turntable, and you can only bring one Beatles album.
Because what island would you not bring a turntable?
It's called One Album Island. It's
one
very
album
specific.
Island, I like that. I remember that show. Didn't last very long. Yeah. Early MTV.
Premise was flimsy, but
yeah. Yeah, and everybody kept choosing the same album, you know, by the DeFranco family. Why they would bring that album, I have no idea. You know, Heartbeat, It's a Love Beat. Yeah, but after that, what happened to them after that?
Yeah, I guess if you could bring one Beatles album and one comedy album, what are those albums?
Well, one would be a Woody Allen album. Still now, if I'm going to write something and I need to be put in a certain mood, you know, I'm trying to think of a joke or whatever, a premise, I still listen to that.
Right.
As far as Beatles, if I had to limit it, I like the early stuff. You know, in America, Meet the Beatles, the second album I like.
Yeah.
So, and maybe Through Hard Day's Night.
I like all of their stuff. It is really interesting, and I'm sure you maybe feel the same way, to listen to their albums and then just hear kind of how they slowly change. I think that's interesting.
You see, I got into it, like I'm doing 78s now, I got into it retroactively.
Yeah.
I didn't really start becoming obsessed until after they broke up. I mean, Let It Be came out in 1970. The movie came out in 70. And that was around the time I started catching up on what they had done. You know, I was around when they were around, but I wasn't really in that world. We didn't listen to a lot of music.
I think it's a smart thing. At least this is what I'm thinking in my head. It's a smart thing to become obsessed with the band after they're not together anymore, because you know this is all that I have to be obsessed with. What if you'd done the same thing with the Rolling Stones, and then they're still putting out an album, like, the next 40 years? You're like, enough with the albums now.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
In Colorado, you can legally gamble in Black Hawk, Central City, Cripple Creek, and licensed online sports betting. Protect our communities. Learn more at PlayLegitCO.com. A message from the Colorado Division of Gaming. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
When we saw the Stones, they did a concert out in the desert. A few years ago, they had three nights of shows. The Stones, McCartney, Dylan, The Who, Neil Young.
Oh, I remember that. I don't remember what that was called, but I remember that that happened.
Not Coachella, but it was
something like that. Yeah.
And the nickname was Old Fest.
Right, Old Fest. Yeah.
Yeah. And we went We were there all three nights. And Jagger came out, and he referred to it as a "See Them Before They Croak" tour. And now years later, and they're going to be in L.A. Sometime soon. I just saw an ad for him.
I saw him at the Rose Bowl a couple years ago. I saw McCartney at the Dodger Stadium. And I was just watching an old SNL with Mick Jagger. And I don't remember how old this is, but it was really funny. The one where they go to a karaoke bar. This was actually Mick Jagger is playing one of their coworkers at work.
Oh, okay.
And this guy is coming up and
doing Mick Jagger.
They're all going up and singing like Jagger. They're all doing Mick Jagger and singing songs. And they're like, the ladies are all just swooning. He's spot on. He's got the moves like Jagger for sure. And he's like, "Are you sure?" He says, "I don't think he really captures him." You know, and then they're like, "No, he's exactly like Mick Jagger." It's pretty funny. Because then you got, I think you had like guys like Bobby Moynihan doing.
Okay. Now, I remember the first time they were on, there was a sketch with Jimmy Fallon doing Mick Jagger, looking in the mirror in the dressing room. And on the other side of the mirror was Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
And it's just like he was doing his impression to Mick.
Right.
As Mick.
That's funny. Fallon's a great impressionist, man. If you ever watch his, sometimes you can go and see those SNL auditions like years later.
Yeah.
His is my favorite one that I've seen. So getting back to the Beatles and collecting some albums.
Okay.
Do you own, I'm sure you own all the Beatles albums.
I have all the American stuff. Every time I meet anybody, and for years at school, this would be the case. If somebody said over break or on vacation, they were going someplace out of country. And, you know, a friend went to Israel. I go, Israeli Beatle albums. Just keep it in mind if you happen to come across.
And do they exist?
They do. It's the same music. But they were pressed in that country. I have Mexico. I have somebody has gotten me some from Peru. I might have one or two Israeli. I've got them. Same music.
Yeah.
But the covers are different in one way or another. The labels are different. So I've gone international. You know, I love collecting that stuff. I've got bootlegs, outtakes.
Do you have one of the Beatles that you prefer as the lead singer, like in general?
I find I like the McCartney stuff mostly.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think it just so happens that way.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite song is actually a Lennon one, which would be Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
That was a Lennon song. But I think overall, the ones I would listen to mostly would be McCartney stuff.
That Hard Day's Night is a great song. Does that have a cowbell in it? Or what is that?
I don't think it's, I don't remember a cowbell.
Because I think there is in the course of When I'm Home. I think there's a cowbell in there.
I need to listen to it again.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's something else. But I think that's one of the things I enjoy about that song is like, right?
I think it's still in SNL mode with the cowbell.
You know, that's possible. It's very possible. I'm a big George Harrison guy. Liked his solo stuff too. I don't really understand the, like, they're all great. If I know another band, and maybe you can think of one that has like four guys that were as good of solo stuff as them. Even Ringo. Maybe the Eagles? Maybe? I don't know.
Well, the Eagles had two main songwriters.
Yeah. But they had, who's the one guy? The other guy that goes up in the falsetto, I don't even know his name, but he's really good.
Oh, well, he left the band. The one who...
Okay. And then you've got Felder. I don't know if he sings a lot of the, Don Felder, he doesn't sing a lot of the solo stuff.
No, usually it was Len Fry or...
Or Don Henley.
Don Henley.
Yeah. Fleetwood Mac, maybe, but I don't know if they all...
Not anymore.
Were they at that old fest, Fleetwood Mac?
No.
I thought they were. No?
No.
You ever seen them? Are you a fan of them?
I saw Fleetwood Mac when I first moved out here.
Yeah.
In their heyday. I remember when their album, you couldn't get them off the radio. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
You know? I have to admit, I wasn't a great fan.
Yeah.
But now it's like, now there's a time and a place. I remember being in college when all that music came out. So it has a place in my memory. We'll be right back.